pick up here one more thing in Galatians. If we look at Galatians again, one more point that I'd like to make, and then we'll go to a little bit of Ephesians. And maybe we'll go back to Romans. I don't know. So many, yeah, right. So many great things that come to mind, and when we're reading these things in the Scripture and looking at these things, so many things come to mind that there's just not time, you know, to consider. But you know, I know that that God has a way of continuing these things for each of us as we, you know, continue our time in reading and study of the Scriptures and just looking at certain things, maybe going back and rereading those sections in Romans that we read yesterday, and how God continues to open the eyes of our understanding. You know, whether we're together like this or whether we're just by ourselves, quiet time, you know, that's the greatness of our God. He continues to instruct us because he desires for us to, so come to a knowledge of the truth, you know, which is what it says in Timothy, right? He not only wants us to be saved, which we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ, but he desires for us to come to a knowledge of the truth, a knowing of the truth, and specifically the truth that it speaks of is him being one God and there being one mediator between that God, that creator of all of the heavens and the earth, and his man, Jesus Christ, right? That man, Jesus Christ. And how much have we seen about that man, Jesus Christ, yesterday and today, just looking at so few of the Scriptures in comparison to how many there are. And remember, you know, as Jesus Christ said, you know, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. You know, he told the Pharisees, you know, you search the Scriptures every day. Every day you're searching the Scriptures. You know, you're reading the scrolls. You're pulling out Isaiah. You're pulling out Daniel. You're looking at the Torah, the books of Moses. And you're searching these things every day. And here I am in front of you. What you've read testify of me. They point to me. They speak of me. Right? So God continues to do this. If we understand and we have a heart, you know, to look to God and to trust that His Spirit within us enables us to understand those deep things of God, then He continues to show it to us. And He does. He continues to show us every day more and more of His greatness. His greatness. Not our intellect to understand. His greatness. And the greatness of His love and the greatness of His grace toward the world that He would give His only Son. You know? And He just continues to pile it on. You know? I mean, it doesn't matter how many years you continue to read and study the Scriptures. If you have a heart to look to God for understanding, He continues to fill you. And we were talking outside there, you know, and I thought of, Justin mentioned something, and I thought of how, you know, here we get together here and we just begin to scratch the surface, you know, of what's really there. You know? And then, you know, you see so many things. You scratch the surface. It's like one of those, you know, scratch and sniff things. not lottery scratch-offs, no. Yeah, yeah. No, like those, you know, you just kind of scratch it a little and then all of a sudden, oh, wow. Whoa. What fragrance there is from that little bitty scratch. Right? And this is how this is how God's Word is. How is this Scripture so filled with life? Because God's the author of it. And it's about Him and about His Son. That payment which completes our righteousness in Him. And so anytime we go and we just, with confidence in God, with faith, with believing that God will open the eyes of our understanding, it's just so much. There's so much there. So we can spend a lifetime just enjoying these things that God reveals to us. You know, because, and this is part of that, you know, that life that He has enabled us to live, you know, which is like it says here in Galatians, right? That life that we live in the flesh is by the faith of His Son. That's what enables us to have all these great things. This life which is more than abundant. This life which defeats the adversary's attempts at stealing and killing and destroying what God has so by His grace and mercy provided for us. And what a thrill. I mean, you know, you go out there in the world and, you know, there are things out there in the world and yeah, that's cool. Oh, yeah. Did you see this new piece of technology? Whoa, that's pretty awesome. But none of it really compares to having a relationship with the living God as His son or His daughter, knowing that we're righteous before Him and there's nothing that holds Him back from us. Nothing prohibits his hands of love to be all over us, taking care of us, strengthening us, healing us, providing for us, covering us, bringing us to victory in every situation. Nothing prohibits Him anymore from that if we will but turn our hearts to Him. And boy, we never come to that place until we really begin to look at the Scripture and see it. You know, the gospel that we enjoy, this good news that we enjoy, is all about Jesus Christ and God raising Him from the dead. All about that. You know, it says, well, yeah, hold your finger here in Galatians. Look at Romans, the end of Romans. But hold your finger there in Galatians, because we're coming right back. The end of Romans. Romans 15, I think. Yeah, Romans 16, sorry, the very end. In this, you know, final, in these final words, in this, you know, kind of, you know, closing blessing. You know, at the close of this great epistle of Romans, after having set all the great reality of the righteousness of God being revealed and us being saved from the wrath of God that will be revealed and why and what how we are to respond to it, he closes by saying, verse 24, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, unto Him, we just turn our hearts to Him that is of the power to establish you, to strengthen you, to fix you firmly according to my gospel, my good news, not according to the law, but according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, the proclaiming, the declaration of the Savior, right? Jesus, Lord Messiah. According to how is this good news relating to Jesus Christ preached? It is according to the revelation of the mystery. Always, if you hear someone saying, "I want to preach Jesus Christ to you," if it's not according to the revelation of this great mystery, where now no longer is it Jew and Gentile, but all are now one in Christ, justified freely, no longer Jew or Gentile, no longer male or female, no longer bond or free, one in Christ. One in Christ. Sons of God. That preaching, and which was kept secret, right? This mystery was kept secret since the world began. God never told anybody. Had He told them, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Having all these freely justified people running around is just going to be one heck of a problem for the old adversary and his kingdom. Remember, I stated yesterday morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ affected everything. It affected Christ's eternal standing. It affected our eternal standing. And it affected the adversary's stupid eternal standing, which is zip, zero, nothing. He is gone. So it's according to that that this good news must be preached. Right? This was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And how else is it preached? It is according to, one, the mystery, and it is according to what? By the scriptures of the prophets. By the scriptures of the prophets. According, and this is all according to the commandment of the eternal God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Recognizing that the prophets all pointed to the Messiah and what he would accomplish. The law pointed in type to what he would do as a sacrifice for sin, taking sin out of the way, keeping it from ever having any prohibiting thing between the relationship of God and his people. So this gospel is according to the mystery, and it's according to all those great things that the prophets recorded in the scriptures, including the prophets of the day of grace, the age of grace, the apostles and prophets that speak and have written. All these things. So we can preach, we can proclaim this wonderful Lord and Savior that we have. And we do it according to the mystery and the scriptures of the prophets. And that's what God wants us to do. And so when we do come to the scriptures of the prophets, the scriptures that God has given to us for our learning and kept intact for us, preserved for us, but we just trust Him to show us. We just trust Him to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can see all these great riches of the knowledge of Christ. And there's so much. We've proved that time and time again. We all do to ourselves. And, we sit down, we read something, and then, we're really opening our heart to God. God, I just want to understand something. I've read through this 1,000 times. Never really got much out of it. This one section perplexes me. And so sometimes you get an answer, but sometimes you don't. Then sometimes you go back somewhere and you read something else and you go, what? That's probably what that thing's talking about. What? Oh, how wonderful, how fun. So we have just a great thing that God's done for us. And these kind of things, when you know it's the Father opening the eyes of your understanding, that those moments where, like that Greek word where two rivers run together, what is synesis? Understanding. Where the rivers just flow. Where you take this thing and this thing and all of a sudden it becomes plain to you like never before. That aha moment, right? That's God showing us things. He always does that. And it's much greater of a moment than, figuring out your phone. How does this dang thing work anyway? Oh, okay. Because most of the time our kids are too busy to help us understand how to work that stuff. But boy, when we come to see something that God shows us, it's so, so much more rewarding. So, look at Ephesians, okay. Well, no, you were in Galatians, so we got to read that because Ephesians, that was an interesting introduction to this. Okay, so Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 says, right on the heels of, it's the faith that I live the flesh, the life I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, verse 21 says, I'm not going to discount. I'm not going to frustrate or discount the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then all Christ did is vain, empty. The life he gave, the beating he took, the torture that he went through means nothing. But we want it to mean something. And so therefore, we continue to walk in this great grace that God has provided for us. Right? We just don't frustrate. We don't discount the grace of God and how great it really is in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know if I'll ever get to all the things that I really have on my heart to share. But, you know, well, chapter 1, this is great. Because chapter 1, we read this in verse 20, which he wrought, that mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all that principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named in this world, that which the adversary tempted him with. Not only did God set him over all of that, but in the world which is to come also. Right? And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then chapter 2, verse 1 says, now, how about you? We just read a few verses of what he did for his son, our Christ. He raised him from the dead. He gave him a name above all that name. He put everything under his feet. He said, sit down. Now, what about you? And you hath he what? Quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You dead ones. You dead ones. Wherein in times past, verse 2, this is so great. Only God could have inspired this. Paul would have taken his whole life to come up with this and still fallen short. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That creep that now works in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation. Not some of us, but we all had our conversation, our behavior. We all behaved this way. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, thy nature, the children of wrath, even as others. All men come short of the glory of God. All men. Right? You know, the translators, why the translators added in verse 1, hath he quickened? Because these next, you know, the verses 2 and 3 are pretty harsh. And they felt like, I don't know if anybody can handle that description of themselves without knowing that he first made them alive. But God says differently. God had Paul write it differently. How about you? How about you dead ones? You know your behavior. It's not very good. But God. Verse 4. But God. God, who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, made us alive together with Christ. He's made us alive with him. When Christ died, we were crucified with him. And also, because God raised Christ, because we were crucified with him, he had to raise us also. And he did. So what about you? What about you? What about me? We are alive now. We were dead, but now we are alive. Just like Christ, dead. Why did he die? He took on our punishment. He took on our iniquities, our sin, the penalty for which is death. when the price was paid, God raised him and he raised us up also. This we have now. There's no question. There's no question in God's eyes. So why do we want to go back to the law? Why? We couldn't do it with the law. We never can do it. So we have to rely upon grace. God wants us to rely upon his grace. He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Oh, but there's a little bit more for you. Right? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together. Where is the seat? On the right hand of God. We're sitting together with Christ. At the very throne of God, on his very right hand. This is such a position of respect and authority that's reserved, remember? Not any of the angels could he have said, take this seat on my right hand. Not for all of the ages and ages and ages and ages. I don't know how many ages, but ages. Ages that they stayed faithful to the true God. They stayed with him. They didn't follow Satan. They didn't follow Lucifer off into some other stupid thing and rebel. They stayed with the true God. They were faithful to him. They continued to serve him for all those ages. And yet none of them could God look at and say, take this seat on my right hand. Only his son, after having bowed as a servant to him, even though he was his son, could he say, now you sit on my right hand. And you are with him. Do you, to me, it's just like, what? Are you kidding me? You have invited me to sit where? I just feel like the jerk. Go ahead. You mean I'm going to stay this way? Yeah! What more is there left for us to do with our flesh? But serve him as living sacrifices, which is what Romans says. In all this great reality of the redemption that we have and all it really means to us. You know, yeah, my price has been paid. Yeah, my sin's been accounted for. You're alive now. It's more than just having your sins paid for you. You're alive now. You're seated on the right hand of God now. You share that name which is above every name. Holy mackerel, what? I say holy mackerel a lot when I get excited. Not that there's anything holy about mackerel. I mean, but seriously, I mean, sometimes I read this stuff and I just come unglued with joy. And because it really and truly is, this is the good news. And we struggle sometimes because we just fail to remember, wait a minute, God raised Christ from the dead. He raised me too. What do I have to be concerned about? What is there that man can do to me? I know my Redeemer. I know he lives, and I live with him. If we could just encourage one another to remember that, and have our hearts tender to it always. Sometimes we harden our hearts. But these are the things that tenderize God needs us just as much as we need Him. When Christ was walking 2,000 years ago on this earth and not seated on the right hand of God, but walking like you and I do as a man, having to deal with all the same things that we deal with, He was still able to make the Father known. And without Him, no one would have known the Father. They would still have known only Jehovah Elohim. God wants the world to know who He will be for them as a Father. And it's you and I who can show them. If we will but keep our hearts tender to the reality that we are seated on His right hand. And He has raised us up. He has glorified us with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is a magnificent truth that so many people are so afraid to believe. Because if they believe it, they must be a nutcase. It's okay to believe in God. It's okay to go to church on Easter. God forbid any of those